Hello and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're in
part three
of A Man Named Phil.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Hello, everyone. We are in part three of A Man Named Phil. We're in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter
8
and verse 26. And we're looking at this guy, Philip.
We call him Phil. I have a friend named Phil who's a great youth pastor. And so actually, when I read Philip, I'm like, oh, yeah, Phil. He loves Jesus. He tells people about Jesus.
Actually, I remember hearing a speaker talking about Paul and how in that time period, you know how if we, like you're Jennifer and I call you Jen, so we shorten people's name as terms of endearment. Well, they actually kind of lengthened people's names as terms of endearment, like Priscilla instead of Prissa.
Oh.
I know, very interesting. So if we like him, we'd call him Philip, not Phil.
Philip.
So Philip.
So, yes, we started off with he's one of the seven men that were set apart to take care of the tables. And then when Stephen was stoned, the persecuted church scattered. He went to the town of Samaria, the towns of Samaria, proclaimed the gospel. Amazing, miraculous signs happened. A man named Simon, who's a sorcerer, believed, was baptized, and then saw the power of the Holy Spirit coming through the laying on of hands. It's like, I want to buy that. And Peter and John, who showed up,
they were like, mm-mm.
And so we ended off last week with the question of, okay, we don't think they dropped Simon, but maybe someone came alongside Simon and mentored him, walked and alongside him and discipled him. So here we are back focusing in on Philip and the Ethiopian.
And Phil is just walking along and he just listens to God. And
I know.
I really like this. So can you read it, Jen?
Yes. So start at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book by Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is the water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in the towns until he reached Caesarea. And that is the last we hear about Philip.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story.
I know.
And I think even from, you know, two episodes ago when we were first introduced to Philip, at least in this section,
yeah,
he was scattered, but he just preached wherever he went.
Just preached where, like, and
yeah.
It picks it up again, right? Now the angel of the Lord told Philip to go somewhere, and so he went.
Yeah.
And then it ends again with, right afterwards, Philip, however, basically the Spirit of the Lord took him away. And wherever, what does that even feel like?
I don't know, but I've always wanted to fly. My whole life I've always wanted to fly.
And is that like a transponder, you know, like beam
like
me up,
like in
Scotty.
Star Trek when they...
Yes.
The twirly sparkle comes.
Yes. Did the Lord twirly sparkle?
I don't know,
but this is where, like, literally, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away and then planted him down.
I know. But this is the nature of the kingdom of God. Like, I legit believe it.
So do I. And then part of me wants to say, do it to me. What does that look like? And the interesting part is I have heard of things like this, not in the North American context, but in an African context.
Right.
Where a friend of mine was praying in his community and literally saw someone fall out of the sky. I know. And like, I believe him because he doesn't make things up. So I know it can happen.
Yeah.
And I read this and I'm like, all Philip did was preach the gospel. Because did you notice how he didn't stay to disciple the eunuch?
No, he was just like, bam, bam, scattering the seed.
Scattering the seed, the Lord, baptizing people, done. And he's not the one that's saying he's done. The Lord is the one who's saying he's done. He's not like, okay, this looks like a good place to stay.
Yeah.
Because it says after last week's passage, now the angel of the Lord said, go. So he went.
Oh, true.
So after this story with the Ethiopian, the angel of the Lord again picked him up and took him off, right? The Spirit of the Lord. So it's like he was fully surrendered to go and do whatever it was that the Lord wanted him to go and do. And it was just to preach the gospel. And people came to know him. And came to know Jesus. And then he baptized. And then we don't know what happened after that. So we don't know if he was finished or if he was put down somewhere else. Yeah. Or if this was just a story to say, this is like the power of what happens when people are fully surrendered to God.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like,
I want to be an opportunistic Christian. Like, when I think about an opportunistic feeder or like a bird of prey.
Yeah.
Like, if there's already something going on, they'll just go and, like, join in. They'll eat whatever's there, you know. But I want to be that in the sense that if something comes up, I'm just ready to go that way.
Yeah.
If God's like, go jump in that chariot, I'll be like, okay.
Go jump, like, go run alongside a chariot.
Okay. So he must have been in good shape. He was going slow. But anyways, what are you going to say?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, then. I like that Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who was this guy? Why was he going to Jerusalem? Yep. I remember learning about this one time, and I can't remember the exact details. But, anyways, what I also appreciate is that Philip was just ready to engage him. He didn't need the whole plan spelled out for him from the Spirit, but just felt like, I need to go there, and God's going to take care of the rest.
Yeah. He wasn't right. Like, there was no,
okay,
like,
you're going to go up to the chariot, then you're going to say A, B, and C, and then you're going to step in, and then it's going to be amazing. You're going to baptize him. He didn't have a plan. He was just like, go, run beside the chariot. And then he just started telling him the truth.
I know, because he, like, the question he asked was, well, do you understand what you're reading? Like, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, and it just allowed the conversation to go from there.
Yeah.
And tell me, please, who is the prophet? You know, and it was just so powerful that Philip took that the opportunity that was presented in front of him by the Holy Spirit, right? That's the important part. It was presented to him by the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit just gave him everything that he needed.
Yeah.
And that backs up those passages in the Gospels where it says, don't worry about what you're going to say. When you're walking with the Lord,
He's going to take care of it.
He's going to take care of it.
And I also appreciate that, okay, the angel of the Lord said, go here. But the disciples or the apostles also, like, they would start going somewhere and then Holy Spirit would be like, nope, not here. Or they'd go somewhere else and they'd be like, nope, not here. But they still went and did stuff.
Yes.
And some people say, oh, I'm just waiting to be led. But if you don't just go out and start running beside chariots, don't run with traffic. I think that's a bad idea. But
and on that note,
then the opportunity might not come. So let's take a break.
We're going to take a break.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, thanks for staying with us and thank you for tuning in again. We would like to thank all of our partners. Go to our website, neweveryday.tv. You can check out all of our partners who help make this show possible. So just wanted to say thank you so much. Yes. And thanks Category 5 TV and Robbie Ferguson for making this show possible. Jen, we're talking about Philip.
I know.
He's running along beside the chariot and the Ethiopian eunuch invites him in. And he's reading Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 53, and he says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch's like, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then it says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So he's using the Old Testament. And Isaiah 53 is just like this remarkable, remarkable chapter.
All about Jesus.
Written 700 years before Jesus came. And I know we've talked about it on this show before, but it's so remarkable. So push pause right now. Go get your Bible and open up Isaiah 53 with us so you can see it for yourself and let God speak to you through this incredible scripture. Do you have it there?
I do.
All right. Do you want to start reading some of that?
Sure. So it actually starts at the beginning of, or the end of 52 in verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and who has and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. No one with whom men hide their face, like one with from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and punishment that brought us peace was upon him. For by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression the judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
And so beginning with that scripture, Philip told him about Jesus and the good news about him. And if he's familiar with Jewish culture and the Passover and why the Jews sacrificed a lamb so that in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, so that the angel of death passed over the Israelites when they were in slavery in Egypt. They were saved from death because they sacrificed the lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And that saved them. That's that's part of the Passover story, and I encourage you to go look that up in Exodus. But it's saying here that Jesus took on our sin. He took on our grief. He took on our sorrows, and he was slain. And by his stripes we are healed. And it's just amazing, because each verse in this book, in this chapter, it prophesies and speaks about the Lord Jesus.
I know, even though it's Isaiah.
700 years before Christ.
And so when the eunuch is hearing this, look.
Oh yeah, his
Here's
response.
Water.
I love that.
Why should I be baptized? He's like, this is what I believe.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, so he says what he believes, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
So let's just do it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because he recognized as Philip was unpacking the scripture, I'm sure all the cylinders started firing, going,
ding, 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 this is the one.
Because part of what I believe, what I've been told about this passage, is he was a follower of the Jewish faith, so he knew. Like, that's why he was reading the scriptures, and so he was going.
He was going to Jerusalem.
He was going to Jerusalem to worship. So, you know, and I think his heart was ready, and that's why the Spirit of God brought Philip to him. And that's where, if there are people in your life right now that you're praying, dear Lord Jesus, send someone to them. Like, pray for a Philip.
Yeah.
Pray for a Philip who's just going to come alongside by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, say, what are you thinking about? This is what I'm thinking about. And then speak some truth into their life, and they're going to come to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And we want, like, wow, Jen, you said that so fast, like as if that's going to happen. But it does.
It does happen.
And so we need to start praying for people who don't know Jesus, that someone will come alongside, because maybe it's your husband or your wife or your child or your close friend or a mom or a dad, and you're like, they've already heard it from me. That's okay. Pray for a Philip.
Yeah.
Pray for a Philip to come alongside and just say, hey,
yeah,
what are you reading?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, probably God is stirring something in their heart, but they might not want to share it with you, but they'll share it with a Philip.
Yes, a neutral party.
A neutral party. And so we want to encourage you to do that.
And the other thing I want to encourage you to is, if you have an extra Bible, ask God who you can give that to, and just encourage them to start reading, because God uses scripture to draw people to himself.
Yes, he
does. And then a Philip comes along and can open their mind to it.
Yes.
Which I just love. Why don't we pray, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, we're so grateful for the word that you've given us in the Bible, and that we believe that it's true. We know that you are who you say you are. Jesus, you rose from the dead, and you've called us to a kingdom that seems kind of upside down. And yet, God, you can do incredible things. Thank you for the story, the true story of Philip and how you used him. And Lord, would you help us to walk in faith and have ears and hearts that are open to just listen to you and go and tell people this great news. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We encourage you to go to chapter 8, give it a read, ask Holy Spirit, what is it that you have for me from this chapter? How can I be a Philip, or how can I pray for a Philip? So we leave that with you this week. Have a good week.
Cheers.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.